Hukwon's president talks about moving ahead after bankruptcy. And the region sees a rare case of lead poisoning in an eagle. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Mara Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. In our last newscast, we told you about the settlement Hukwon Inc. reached with Travelers Insurance, essentially ending the Native Corporation's bankruptcy case. On Thursday, Board of Directors Chairperson and President of the Corporation, Rosemary Hotch, said the Board of Directors for Hukwon is excited to reach a settlement and move ahead.
Well, Hukwon Inc. is very happy about the settlement because you need to resolve debts with creditors so that you can become solvent. And we were happy to do something with Travelers because as Hukwon Inc. looks forward to the future, they will probably have to rely on the resources that Travelers has, which is provides bonding for various aspects of corporations.
The local village Native Corporation filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy in August. Hukwon's president at the time, Ralph Strong, said the corporation filed to protect its 7J distribution payments from its regional Native Corporation, Sea Alaska. Many village corporations depend on the 7J payments from regional Native corporations, but Travelers attempted to put a lien on those payments in an effort to recoup nearly $8 million owed to them by Hukwon. The corporation and their attorneys argued liens on the payments are not allowed under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. As part of the settlement reached last week under Hotch and the new directors, Travelers agrees to release its lien on the 7J payments. That was an integral aspect of the settlement, Hotch said, in order to keep a court from making a decision and possibly setting a precedent about those payments for Native corporations.
Well, regarding the 7J, which was going to be a hotly contested issue in the bankruptcy proceedings and could have led to years of litigation, should the court allow us to go through with our settlement and dismiss us from bankruptcy, that decision will never be made on a court level. And that protects all Native corporations, village and regional.
In the settlement, Hukwon agrees to pay Travelers just over $1 million over the next 5 years. To afford the payments, Hukwon says it will sell 4 pieces of property in the Haynesboro. 3 of the lots are near Jones Point off Sawmill Road and total just over 70 acres and include 2 buildings. The 4th piece of property is an 8-acre lot across Beach Road from the dock previously used by the Chilkat Express. The property on the water side with the dock and building are owned by the Hukwon's General Income Trust. According to the Haynesboro, the lands Hukwon is selling have a total assessed value of about $926,000. The properties have a combined value in property taxes to the borough of nearly $10,000. Hotch said the corporation's directors decided the sale of the land was necessary to clear up the debts and rebuild. She said previous repayment agreements were not sustainable.
We just believe we came up with a reasonable obligation that Hukwon Inc. can attain.
Hotch was recently named new board chair and president after a judge ruled the election of previous directors was not valid. Hotch did not want to comment on the controversy and disagreements between the previous and current board members. Some of the issues stem from a lawsuit Hotch filed against the corporation, alleging some previous board members looted or misused the Hukwon trust accounts. A settlement was reached last year in that case, but some of the issues from the case at times intervened in the bankruptcy case. Recent court documents also state a recall election against the new board members was held last week by shareholders, but it's unclear the outcome of that election, if a quorum was present, or if it could affect the settlement. After the new directors took office and Hotch was named president, the group closed the local offices of the corporation. Hotch moved shareholder records and corporation documents to Anchorage, where she lives. She said she can't speculate when or if a local office of the corporation will be reestablished. But she said she and current board members believe the settlement is a positive step in the right direction for the shareholders and corporation.
Well, I would like Hukwon Inc. shareholders to know that their directors were ecstatic and had the best interests of the corporation and future shareholders in mind when they made the decisions that they did. And all of the directors have contributed their personal time and efforts to attaining the goal of stepping out of bankruptcy and heading Hukwon Inc. towards a solvent corporation again.
The settlement still needs to be finalized and approved by a bankruptcy judge. Chilkat Valley is, of course, known as the Valley of the Eagles, so this next story might have some interest in the community. A patient at the Alaska Raptor Rehabilitation Center in Sitka died last month in the facility's first-ever loss to lead poisoning. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Jen Cedarleaf is the center's avian rehabilitation coordinator. She says the bald eagle was found ailing in Ketchikan on January 14th and was delivered to Sitka for treatment the next day.
He could not stand. He was sitting on his hocks, I guess you would call them. He had some mucus discharge from his mouth, and it was he sounded very congested when he would breathe. He had a hard time keeping any fluids down that we tubed him. And he also was standing kind of with his wings out in a, so if you looked at him, he looked like a triangle.
Cedarleaf says this is probably what eagles do to maintain their balance when stressed. Cedarleaf says the Raptor Center's veterinarian, Vicki Vosberg, made her initial diagnosis based on the symptoms, and an x-ray confirmed it.
Well, he had three little pieces of lead in his stomach when we first x-rayed him. Then when we x-rayed him the next day, he had already passed two of the small pieces of lead and only had one left in his stomach.
Cedarleaf says it's impossible to know how much lead the eagle originally ingested or where the lead came from. The pieces were too small to be identified as fragments of a bullet, fishing lure, or something else entirely. She says that just because lead poisoning in eagles is rarely seen in Alaska, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily rare everywhere. The Raptor Center in Minnesota, she says, sees several cases each winter.
I think the reason we don't see them is just because we live in such a huge state and there's so much wilderness that a lot of the times the birds, you know, they could ingest the lead, fly off, and then it doesn't affect them for but maybe a week.
There are drug therapies for lead poisoning, but the Raptor Center had none because cases are so few and far between. And Cedarleaf says surgery wasn't an option since the bird was too far gone for either. It died on January 17th, 2 days after arrival.
If I never see another eagle die from lead poisoning, it'll be too soon because it was just not a fun thing to watch this poor bird suffer and knowing that there's really nothing you can do.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Now with our weekly essay feature, here's local author Heather Lundy.
You'll have to forgive me for saying this, because I've just returned from 2 weeks visiting family in Florida, which honestly was nice, but really, I'd rather be home. No matter how long the winter, no matter how much it snows, and then rains, and then freezes up so that I can't walk across the yard to the chicken coop without crampons and an ice axe, no matter if the house is suddenly full of wood smoke and the hot water heater is cold, no matter that the produce section looks like Vladivostok, the little dog has irritable bowels, and the vet isn't coming to town for 3 more weeks, and that I have to wait for tourist season to order a takeout pizza, I would rather stay home than go on a vacation. I hate packing. My clothes look better in Haines than they do in other places. Shoes, too. They don't wear clogs in Florida. So does my skin. It's not used to sun. Just thinking about getting from here to anywhere gives me the hives. I would rather see a boy I know miss both foul shots than sit in the front row when Kobe Bryant dribbles by. I prefer the sound of the noon siren on the fire hall to a departing ferry's horn. I'd rather wake to the rumble of the snowplow than fall asleep to the thrum of a jet engine hurtling toward paradise, if I could sleep on a plane. I don't need to worry who gets the oxygen mask first when I'm playing with my granddaughters in the window seat of our living room. There are plenty of books at the library to keep us entertained. There's a beautiful beach to play on, too. So what if the sand is frozen? If we want to swim, we can go to the pool. But mostly, I can't bear to miss that rare morning when the snow is gently falling and the wind has quit and it's not too cold and friends walk by my door and wave and I bundle up and join them and our dogs steal each other's tennis balls and we make the first footprints of the day and every one of us agrees how lucky we are to be right here, right now. The best travel agent in the world couldn't guarantee this scene for her richest client. Even though we can't see the mountains, we know they are there. We also know that a morning like this may not come again until next February. And the thing is, that only makes us love it more. One of my seasonally grumpy friends said that we can't call Haines paradise because there are no palm trees or umbrellas in the drinks. Well, then put one in my coffee, and next time you go outside, bring me back a little potted palm.
That was local author Heather Lindy with our weekly essay feature, Small Things Considered. If you live in our listening area and would like to submit an essay, please contact us at news@khns.org. It's a weekend full of basketball here in the Upper Lynn Canal. Starting off Friday morning, KHNS will air live the Skagway-Hoona game from Hoona. We will also air Saturday morning the second matchup starting at 10 a.m. during Lynn Canal weekend. And in Skagway, junior high teams from Skagway, Haines, and Juneau will compete in the Boyd-Worley tournament. In Haines, you can watch three games each night if you so desire. Starting at 5 p.m. Friday and Saturday, the girls' junior varsity team will take on Juneau. The boys' JV game against Craig starts at 6:30, followed by the varsity game at 8:30 each night. And that will include a light show by the cheerleaders at halftime. On Monday and Tuesday, the Girl Glacier Bears host Wrangell in Haines. And the Haines Junior High Wrestling team is off to Juneau to compete this weekend, while the Skagway Robotics team is in Hoona. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.